May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And with your spirit.
Okay, well, good evening. We're off to a great start. So tonight, I'd like to continue with our tools for good works. I'm going to take two tools tonight together. They're back to back. Tool 27 and Tool 28. Tool 27 says, bind yourself to no oath, lest it prove false. But St. Benedict goes on to say with the conjunction, but speak the truth with heart and tongue. So that's why I'm taking the two together. Well, bind yourself to no oath, lest it prove false. Right away, we will think of the Sermon on the Mount, at least Matthew's version, where Jesus tells us, don't swear at all. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything else is from the evil one. In other words, what Jesus is saying to his followers or demanding from us is a truthfulness that makes oaths unnecessary. And this is the truthfulness that, as we would hold Adam and Eve had prior to their fall. So in other words, oath-taking is caused by our fallen human nature. It's caused by sin. And anything else is from the evil one, well, not necessarily from the devil, although it could mean that, but it means it's from your fallen condition. So you're having to take an oath because, in other words, you have to bring God into the picture as a witness because your human words cannot be trusted. Well, that's not so good, is it? But Jesus is, basically saying, in the context of what I am going to give to each of you, salvation, that will restore this simple candor of relationship with God and one another. And hence, no more will it be needed to say anything other than what is necessary and what is true. And of course, that gets us into tool number 28. But let's just look at this thing about oath. You know, this is not a moral theology course. This is a Saturday evening chapter conference. But Saints Ambrose and Augustine teach that the fault in an oath is not the oath, but a habitual use of oaths. You might have to sit on that one. I'm not going to even try to explain that. More a habitual use of oaths, they say that's the issue. Well, at least, biblically, the concern or the ban with an oath is that it is possible that when I state a position in the form of an oath, because that's what an oath is, I swear to do this and this and this, or whatever it is, when I state a position in the form of an oath, it is not completely true. Well, that's interesting, but I don't know it at the time. Hence, to swear by God, which an oath is, and don't confuse this with vows, our monastic vows, for example, but to swear by God, and as I say, that's what an oath is, only to find the statement is not completely true is to implicate God in the falsity of the statement. So when I state a position or a fact in the form of an oath, it is possible that somehow I haven't got everything all together, and so it's possible it's not completely true. That's what I meant, or that's what. Now, you can argue it's not likely that any of us here are going to be taking an oath as monks. Now, I mean, we do, you know, when we're called to jury duty, and eventually you do take an oath at jury duty on the legal, civil level. So I suppose that would be possible. I don't know. I don't think any of us, other than Father Bernard, served on jury duty. All the rest of us got either rejected or, anyway, the trials were canceled, at least to date. As I say, you know, a monk doesn't take oaths, probably, in the monastery. But we don't confuse that as with a vow. What St. Benedict is trying to get after is, how do we as monks live in truth? You remember Jesus, or the Last Supper discourse, and Jesus is responding to Thomas. When Thomas asks, well, where are you going? How do we know the way? And Jesus says, well, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So how do we live in truth? You know, that's not so easy. Because, again, of our fallen human nature. It's not that we're outright living a lie. I'm not saying that. But how do we maintain and live in the truth? We are such mysterious beings that we don't even always know the dynamic at work in our hearts, the motives that are working in our hearts. Hence, as St. Benedict says, or St. Jesus says, stay away from oaths, because you could be taking a position that is not completely true. You know, so the challenge, I think, of these two tools is to communicate with directness. Well, that's not to say not to communicate with diplomacy and, you know, with appropriate language, etc. You know, I mean, it can be direct. It can be quite brutal and nasty. But we're just, you know, saying living in the truth. And to communicate with directness is a statement about a monastic community that has built strong bonds of mutual trust. So really, St. Benedict, in a sense, is getting at not only the quality of the life, but, you know, the whole quality of my own personal integrity, and which, of course, has to be rooted in humility. I think the more truthful we are is because we are the more rooted in the self-knowledge that we call humility. And the more we can trust others, because I can trust myself in the context of my relationship with God. But, as I say, given the variety of temperaments, backgrounds, cultural adaptations that we have in communication, you know, building this trust and communicating in with directness is easier said than done. You know, we could say, you know, who isn't sensitive to criticism? I've never met anyone who is that so hardened or so humble, even though I've met a number of people who are very humble and can receive criticism to a fairly good extent. But nevertheless, who isn't sensitive to criticism? And of course, there are those who are more quick to speak without reflection or diplomacy, or, you know, just comes right out of as a reaction. And then, you know, who is not prone to projection or to misread an action, misinterpret a statement? You know, we're constantly, of course, trying to understand and be present and receive others in their positions, their statements, you know, whatever it is, or their actions. And so we're constantly having to watch over ourselves, which is why the emphasis in monastic spirituality on vigilance or nepsis. Watching myself, watching my thoughts, the logismoi, because the logismoi really can take us off into bizarre ways. And there's no moment when we're free from that. You know, I mean, throughout our whole lives. In my research in this talk, I came across Michael Casey in his commentary on the tools. He quotes a professor at Columbia, and who also is a senior advisor to the United Nations as regards climate change and cities. And he says this: society needs to make more use of the subjunctive. And of course, we're talking about grammar here. So make use of the subjunctive in statements and conversation. He goes on to say, we should use words such as perhaps, maybe, possibly, probably. That's what he means by the subjunctive. You know, it's got potential, but we don't know where it's going. And that's why I said earlier, you know, this ban that Jesus makes with oaths is trying to protect us from making and taking positions that, in actual fact, we discover are not at all what we thought they were. You know, but when we stop and think about it, again, maybe I don't always have all the facts or understand them. Maybe brother really does know what he's talking about. Or maybe just whoever is actually responsible in the community for that department just may have information that I don't have. You know, or, you know, we all know busybodies. If it's, you know, not your responsibility, what the hell are you doing getting involved in brother's department? You're not in charge of the kitchen. Let the brother in charge of the kitchen do it. Let the brother in charge of the library take care of it. Now, you might see something, you know, so you can let brother know, you know, but you're not the librarian or whatever, whoever department. You're not in charge of the laundry, you know. And yet how often that so often happens where I, you know. But at any rate, you know, I don't always have the facts or understand them correctly. I may have the facts, but I'm not interpreting them And then I end up creating sweeping statements of this or that. So St. Benedict goes on to say, speak the truth with heart and tongue. It's tool 28. And again, that's going to come from two scriptural quotes from St. Paul, one Ephesians, where St. Paul says, therefore, put aside all falsehood and let everyone speak truth to their neighbor. Again, it's that directness and that mutual trust that we are striving to build in our monastic or any Christian community, well, maybe even any civil community. And then likewise from Galatians, where St. Paul says, allow the truth to come to the surface from the depths of your heart, where the Holy Spirit is already present, working and praying. In other words, make this truth that you have by the gift and working of the Holy Spirit, make it accessible to others. And of course, that's the whole mystery of prophecy and the prophetic vocation, which we're going to hear a little more about tomorrow at Mass in the readings, the scripture readings. You know, to be true to who I am before God and my brothers is a great risk, because you might not accept me. You may reject me if you really know who I am, as it were. So to be authentic and naked before God and others is a tremendous gift that demands the most radical of humbleness, of humility. I think you will agree what a challenge it is. And yet Jesus says to us, you know, again, Matthew, part of the Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And so, therefore, let your light, your truth, in other words, shine before the people, so that they see, they may see your good works, there we have the subjunctive, and glorify your Father in heaven. And the more I grow in this truth, which is capital T, which is the mind, the life, the person of Jesus Christ, and I'm transformed into, again, that whole mystery of image and likeness of God in and through the person of Jesus Christ. So the more I grow into Jesus Christ, who is the truth, the more true I become. And, lo and behold, the more heart and tongue, or mouth, become one. And, of course, immediately we can think of chapter 19 of the Rule, the disciple, or the discipline, rather, of the psalmody, where Saint Benedict says, you know, sing the psalmody where heart and mind, tongue and mind become one. In other words, so I don't get so caught up in distractions that I'm somewhere else, rather than with the truth as found in the Psalms. So what I am and what I speak become one. And I think you'll agree what a wonderful thing that is, to speak the truth with heart and tongue, because I am speaking who and what I am, again, in the image and likeness of God, in the mind and with the mind of Christ. And of course, we Cistercians call this simplicity. So bind yourself to no oath, lest it prove false, but speak the truth with heart and tongue.